one of the essential problems with this church industrial complex, with this big idea of big church, mega church, is that these people are who are on the pulpits have created a brand centered around them. So if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I recently posted about another Hillsong pastor being taken down or resigning, rather, from the pulpit because of infidelity and because of sex scandals. I want to talk about these things and I want to address them very carefully, okay? One of the things that I find so compelling about these situations is that most of the time, these are huge figures in the church, right? These are people who have millions of dollars, or they're very, very wealthy. They have huge mega churches. And because this has happened so many times ongoing, what the general culture or the general public seems to think is that this is somehow the dynamic of most churches. First and foremost, I want to say that if you think that the church is about money, and I'm talking specifically about Christian churches, right? I'm going to keep the Catholic Church aside for a moment because we're going to talk about that. If you think the church has money, then you have zero understanding of what church actually looks like. On average, for the most part, most churches in the United States are either funded by another church or they are self-sustaining, which means it's like Patreon. It makes money on its members, and that's the only way that it makes money. So I say all that because I want to be able to tell you guys when I'm talking about these things, and I'm not advocating for these mega church pastors or even these mega churches in general. One of the problems that I see is that the mega church structure has become something like the Vatican. It's become too uniformed like a corporation, and now there's this almost triangular pyramid like structure where you have the main church that's funding all of these other churches and they're opening up churches. I can see a Christian-based argument for that. I really can. You know, Jesus says to his disciples, you know, go and preach the good news. He tells them to go and preach the gospel to every corner of the earth, to all ends of the earth. He tells them to go and spread the word. He tells them to go disciple others. He tells them the Great Commission. And the way people have done that is to really organize, to really structure themselves, to create a place where people can experience God and then have that trickle down. And then as people grow in the faith, they launch their own, but they're still under the same covering. What I'm advocating for is not that that is necessarily wrong, is that I think we've come to a place now where the system is too big to fail, and that's a problem. I'm talking about the industrial church complex, which is what I think it should be called, which is what I think it should be coined. These are pretty much churches that are so big and so powerful that they don't necessarily have anybody holding them accountable. And so now the only way for the proper accountability to take place is with this mob rule, cancel culture thing happening where somebody comes out and says, hey, this giant preacher that you have is actually not who you think he is. One of the essential problems with this church industrial complex, with this big idea of big church, mega church, is that these people are who are on the pulpits have created a brand centered around them, right? This is not YouTube. This is not, you know, the music industry where that's the business model. This is supposed to be church, right? So what is the response and what is the appropriate way to do it? Well, I think we should take a biblical way to it. You know, when Paul is writing the epistles, when he's writing, you know, Romans, or he's writing, you know, Ephesians or Corinthians, all of these things, he is writing to a city. And so this is something that my pastor has gone over many times, and I think it's super vital for every believer, but specifically new believers, to understand. When he's writing to that city, it's like one of these pastors essentially writing to the city of, I don't know, of the city of New York. Let's just say that. And every pastor in the city of New York gets this letter, right? And we open that letter up and we say, okay, this is what Paul wants us to do. He's saying, turn from our wickedness. He says, do not conform to the things of this world. He says all these things. And so there's a decentralization with the church. It's not like Paul is individually, you know, dictating what's happening, who's on the worship team, you know, but he's writing with the authority of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to these churches and saying to them, this is what God has for you this season. This is what God has for you right now. And I think the church should look something more like that, because what ends up happening is when Paul does go and visit these places, you see all of these mini churches gathered together to listen to the apostle and then continue on their ways. But what does it look like on the everyday? On the everyday, it looks like a bunch of people in their living room reading the word, discussing God, praying, worshiping, doing all of these things with their group, right? With their own individual group. This allows for something specific. It allows for accountability. It allows for humility. And it allows for structure, but without compromise and without a corporate influence. One of the biggest pieces of wisdom that I've gotten was this idea of how to stay humble, right? And what this person was saying to me, who was a pretty well-established worship leader countrywide, like he's nationwide, you do not want to get to a place where your ego is so inflated that you think you can walk into any room, change anybody's life, and think that you're doing it because of your own talent. You are just a vessel. You're a broken vessel at that. And God is using you to get something accomplished, something very specific. The way to keep yourself rooted and humbled is by plugging into a church community that's small enough to know your name, know your problems, and know what you're going through. And when you do sing really good on a Sunday, they'll be like, oh, that's really good. But when you're really bad, they have no qualms about being like, yo, you kind of suck today. I'm gonna be honest. You know, and that's the kind of humility that people in those high places of the mega church world need. They need to be around people who will keep them accountable and keep them from thinking that they are too much. A lot of these preachers, if you see the trajectory or the pattern of what they're doing, they're constantly trying to cross into the cultural realm. They're constantly trying to get on TV, on Netflix, on all these things, and they're trying to hang out with elites, right? They're trying to hang out with celebrities and do all these things. That to me is a telltale sign of where their heart is. Because some people, they will do everything the way that they should, and God will put them in places of influence without them wanting to be there. And it almost bothers me, because when I was younger, I used to be like, dang, I wish I could be in those high places of influence, sitting at a table with Jay-Z and, you know, Drake and all these things. And these people that I knew were in those places, but they didn't want to be. And it's almost like God uses whatever your gift is, regardless of your desires, right? Because ultimately our desires are supposed to be laid down. We're supposed to give our desires up to God and align them with the word, so that when God sends us to do something, we're willing to do it regardless of our preferences, right? Preferences are not scripture. Preferences are not something to live life by. The main thing that I want to bring up about this church, this mega church scandal with all of these pastors, is that we have to change the way we see church. If you're not a Christian and you're watching this and you're like into more of the politics stuff that I talk about, this is for you. I want you to just check out a random church, go to it, make sure it's biblical, make sure they understand, you know, Jesus is God, the Trinity exists, blah, 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 and just sit there and just go a couple times, maybe go once or twice, right? See how you feel being treated by those people, as opposed to when you go to like a huge church with all of these lights and stuff and all this stuff. I'm not saying that all of that is bad, just saying that the dynamic is different. I guarantee you, when you go to a smaller church, let's say 0 to 100 people, a smaller church, you will notice a few things. You'll notice that people will remember you right away. Right away, they'll remember you. Hey, you were here last week. Great to see you again, blah, blah, blah. People will ask you questions. People will want to get to know you. And people will want to get involved in your life. Now, some people think that's creepy, right? I'm going to this church. I just want to visit. I don't want to be talked to by anybody, blah, blah, blah. But the big thing here is that's what you're there for. If you're visiting a church, you're not there necessarily to listen to the preacher or to listen to the music. That's not what you're there for. You're there to give your life to a community that can teach you, disciple you, and inspire you, and move you to step into the ways of God. The preaching is one of those tools. The worship is one of those tools, but it's not the end all be all. When you go to a mega church, you are seeing what they want you to see. It's a highly manufactured, I've been on the inside of these things, a highly manufactured, highly structured moment to moment to moment, from when the preacher comes out to what songs they're playing to what keys they're in, because remember, I play music, so I know this, what keys they're in, how the keys are being structured, how the notes are being hit, all to make you feel something. And that's not necessarily in itself a bad thing. But when that is structured with a person at the center of the brand who is fallible, who is broken, who is flawed, just like all of us, it's a recipe for disaster. And so that's if you're not a Christian. If you are a Christian, I beg of you, reevaluate the church that you attend. Maybe you don't attend church. I will say to you, it is impossible to be a cowboy rogue Christian. You cannot do this walk on your own. It is nearly impossible. I'd say the only person to ever do it was Jesus. You have to have a group of people that believe like you do surrounding you. Scripture says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. You know, and it says it for a reason. It's the rules are not in Scripture to prevent you from doing things that are cool. Rules are in Scripture because they're the best way to live a fulfilling life. So when the Bible says don't forsake the gathering of the brethren, it says that because it will benefit you to gather with those who also love Jesus and celebrate what he's doing. It's a totally different disposition to have towards Scripture when it gives you a rule or a commandment. So I'm saying all this because I think that the culture of church is being dictated by these mega churches. And I've seen this year in and year out. I've been a Christian for 10 years now. These huge mega churches will come out with a song. 6 months later, every church in the country is playing it. The mega churches will start wearing skinny jeans, those big hats with the big rims and Chelsea boots. And 6 months later, every church in the country, every trendy church is going to be seeing the same thing. And we're looking at church culture as if it's the same thing as the world's culture when it's not. Church culture should be less about trends, fashion, music, clothes, and it should be more about what does it look like to gather with your family in Christ, right? So what I want to get across in this video, if nothing else, is that you need to reevaluate what you think about church, because these pastors that are being put up on a pedestal that are being dragged through the mud now with all this stuff, all the scandals happening, they are not representative of the church. As a matter of fact, these pastors are the same ones that will willingly throw the church under the bus to spare the integrity or to spare the reputation of themselves and their specific church. So you'll see me critiquing the church at large, but you'll never see me throwing the church under the bus. Well, you know, there was one, and I have them on my YouTube if you just scroll back, but there's one pastor that as soon as he was questioned about really religious Christians who hold up picket signs and stuff like that, he was questioned about it on a podcast. He was like, well, you know, they're misguided. You know, that's not how we do things at my church. You know, we just want to love people. And I thought to myself, you threw the evangelism of Christianity under the bus. You threw out what it means to really spread the gospel. Not saying that the picket signs are always good or that they're good at all, but you threw out the intention behind that, which is that these people genuinely believe that if you don't hear this gospel, you're going to hell. You're going to eternal damnation. That's what they believe. And they're holding up those signs in hopes and in desperation and in prayer to God. They're holding up these signs hoping that you'll go with them to heaven. That's what they want. So when you see things from their perspective, you're like, they're trying to warn you about something that they know for a fact in their hearts is going to happen and in their minds, right? And instead of saying that, instead of appealing to their humanity, you throw them under the bus. That's what these big pastors do. They throw them under the bus and they say, well, at my church, we just like to sit down, have a conversation, get to know you before we judge you, you know. There are clear-cut rules to Christianity, and I've talked about this. There are clear-cut definitions on what it means to be a Christian. There are clear-cut ideological frameworks that need to be held by Christians in order for them to consider themselves a Christian. One of those things is sin and repentance. Well, two of those things, sin and repentance. If you are not willing to admit that you're a sinner, you cannot identify as a Christian. If you are not willing to repent of your sin once you've committed them, you cannot identify as a Christian. If you do not believe that it takes nothing but faith alone through the grace of God to accept Jesus Christ and be saved for eternity, you are not a Christian. If you do not believe Jesus is God, you are not a Christian. So these are what I've heard Ruslan refer to as orthodox principles of Christianity. These are things that aren't necessarily taught at mega churches, and how could they be? How could you teach fundamental 101 of Christianity to thousands of people in 1 hour, in 40 minutes? Because, well, 20 minutes usually is the message at these places, and then it's 20 minutes of music, and then you do the communion and you go home. There's no way to structure that. So what do they do to supplement? They do breakout sessions and what they call small groups or vision cast groups and stuff like that, which are essentially Bible studies. But then you go to these Bible studies and it's just another version of the same thing that happens Sunday, where you're not really going line by line in scripture and talking about what it means and what the origins are, or what I told you about Paul writing to the churches. Instead, it's just some vague thing about, you know, how to live in your purpose and how to really get through the storm. You know, and how God will get you through the storm. And we're going to read a verse, Jeremiah 29:11. When Jeremiah 29:11 is talking about the people of Israel, it's not talking about you. It has nothing to do with you. So these are all things that I think we really need to take into consideration. If you're a Christian, reevaluate. If you're not a Christian, I challenge you. Take a second look at church and see if maybe you've gotten the wrong idea and that's why you've never tried it. Or maybe you haven't seen a good representation of a Christian and that's why you've never tried it. All of these things are things that are talked about in scripture and that are answered in scripture. So if you have any questions about this, any of this, drop it in the comment section. Let me know. I'm going to do more one-on-one videos like this because I think they're important. And I think, hey, YouTube rates them well. So what do you know? But yes, I would love to talk to you guys more about that. And I will catch you next time. By the way, special announcement, if you are following along and if you are on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/angelkiros, I'm going to be doing extended versions of my podcast specifically for Patreon viewers. If you want that, let me know, hit a like, shoot me a comment, go to my Patreon. You can literally pledge as little or as much as you want. It could be monthly, it could be a one-time thing, but I want to give the people that support this podcast unfettered access to the guests that I have on. So I'm going to be doing roughly 30 minutes with the guests that I have on, and then the rest of the time that we do talk is going to be put on Patreon specifically for people behind the paywall. This is just a way to keep me doing this, honestly. And so thank you guys so much for watching. Once again, my name is Angel. If you made it this far, you're the real MVP. I will catch you on the next one. I have some amazing guests coming up, so I can't wait for you to check that out.